Yen Sake said that the objective is to make it more difficult to make the journey and make crossing the borders more difficult. She added that the agreement was the product of a series of bilateral discussions between U.S. officials and the governments of the Central American nations. The increase in migrants at the border is becoming one of the major challenges confronting Biden in the early months of his first term. Migrants from Central America and Mexico are fleeing rampant corruption, organized crime, as well as hunger caused by failing crops and the impact of climate change. The right to claim asylum is enshrined in international and U.S. laws. Numbers grew sharply during Donald Trump's final year in office, but further accelerated under Joe Biden, who quickly ended many of his predecessor's policies, including one that made the asylum seekers wait in Mexico for court hearings in the United States. Previously, militarized attempts to prevent movement in the region have not reduced the number of people traveling north through Mexico, but instead forced migrants to take riskier routes through remote regions and expose them to a heightened risk of robbery, rape, abduction, and death. Mexicans represented the largest proportion of people encountered by the U.S. Border Patrol, and nearly all were single adults. Arrivals of people from Honduras and Guatemala were second and third respectively, and more than half of the people from those countries were families or children traveling alone. President Joe Biden is facing an early political and moral test over how his government treats thousands of migrant children who make the dangerous journey to the United States alone. Officials say the number of people caught attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border is on pace to hit its highest number for 20 years. Single adults and families are being expelled under coronavirus safety rules inherited from Donald Trump. But a growing number of children, some of them as young as 6 years old, from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, are arriving at the southern border of the United States without parents or guardians. These minors are brought to border patrol facilities where many languish in cramped prison-like conditions for days on end. The fast-developing humanitarian emergency shows how Joe Biden's determination to break from Donald Trump's harsh crackdown in favor of a more compassionate approach has collided with the reality of finite resources and a broken system. Democrats have called the situation a challenge and a problem and blamed Donald Trump's legacy. Republicans have rushed to brand it the first crisis and disaster of Joe Biden's presidency. Under Donald Trump, unaccompanied children were sent straight back to Mexico. Joe Biden decided they should go to a border patrol facility and within 72 hours be transferred to the health department with a view to being placed with a family member or a sponsor. However, it has quickly become clear that the system is not fit for its purpose, leaving about 4,500 children stuck in facilities designed for adult men. Lawyers who have visited one such facility in Texas describe seeing children sleeping on the floor or on the metal benches and being allowed outside for just a few minutes every few days.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Dear Muslim ladies, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, Muslim Ladies, so welcome. In this episode of Muslim Lady, the scholar of this program, Sister Razia Shameli and Sister Zainab Barakat, will be talking about pregnancy. But first, we'll listen to one ayah in the Quran. Chapter 39 of the Holy Quran, verse 6.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum khalqan min ba'd. خلق في ظلمات ثلاث.
He makes you in the wombs of your mothers in stages, one after another, in three veils of darkness. Pregnancy is a critical period for women. The relationship with Allah is a major theme of spirituality in Islam. Having a conscious and continuous bond with Allah means living daily life according to the rules set by Allah in the holy books of Islam. To be spiritual in Islam also means to be as good as Allah wants in a person. How spirituality is viewed and embodied among women who are in particularly challenging conditions, such as pregnancy, needs more exploration.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, I'm a person. And Allah has given me a choice that's free. So Alhamdulillah, I choose to be a Muslim. And there's nothing else I'd rather be. No, there's nothing else I'd rather be.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have my friend and sister in faith, Sister Razia Shameli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my beloved friend.
How do you
and
do?
Sister, alhamdulillah, I'm doing great.
Thank you so very much for being with us
thank
today.
Thank you for having me here.
So we've been talking about
planning for pregnancy, basically, in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. And the process and procedure we have to take pre-pregnancy, as far back as selecting a proper spouse. I feel very conflicted when I see that a family is directly raising their daughter, especially to become a wife, as if that's the purpose of her life.
That's some big
mistake. I thought the purpose of the life was to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Marriage is one of the means to do so.
Exactly.
You train your child to be a better person by being a good person yourself. When they find a good spouse, well, they're going to succeed naturally.
Exactly. You know, when in our Islamic teachings, we have the hadith from the noble prophet that when you buy something from outside, like a fruit, you bring home some fruits or a gift. You have bought a gift for your son and your daughter. When you come home, give it to your daughter first. Mm. It means take her emotional consideration into account. Mm. Raise a daughter who is an emotional
affectionate
person who will be someone لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, a source of comfort and peace for her husband. So we're saying that if we want to become pregnant, what is after pregnant? Having children and bearing children and raising good children, raising children who would be the light of your eyes. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجَنَا وَذُرِّيَاتَنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. We want children and spouses who would be the light of our eyes, who would be the source of our comfort. And of course, we have an enjoyment. And of course, in the Islamic perspective, there is a very positive review or view with regards to children. As for example, in the Ahadith, a good child has been considered as a heavenly flower, right? Or in other verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have given you children as a means of test, divine test, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great reward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, with the coming of children, there will be, you know, it's like a magnifying glass that you take to the power of X and Y, the joys and miseries of your life, you know? When you're single, your joys and miseries are constant.
Mm.
But when you get married, your joys become double, triple,
quadrupled.
Yeah.
Right.
And then your miseries will be the same, right?
Uh-huh.
With children, it's the same story. Everything becomes so highlighted and so magnified. This verse that I just mentioned was in chapter Taghabun, verse number 15. Again, in another beautiful narration, we have the case that being gifted or granted with a boy and a girl, these are two of the biggest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in another verse, we have that we have given you an increase or a rise in the number of your people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that as a kind of favor doing to people. So prolonging or a lasting generation is actually a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you like it or not. Imagine that a lot of people would have this mentality of, why do I have to go undertake the responsibility and the hardship of having children? Mm-hmm. So what would happen? We would become extinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would really become extinct.
Who would?
Yeah, seriously. So it's a blessing that there's this, despite all the difficulties of pregnancy, labor, and child rearing, still so many people are in love with having children.
True.
And it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some people actually are willing.
It really is. Kudos to those people out there. Shout out for taking one for the team, guys. Thank you so very much. Okay, so I understand that there's a physical sense of fulfillment, a biological sense of fulfillment from having children and having our generation survived, our bloodline survived, our legacy carried on into the future. The fact that I am not the last, or that my family tree is not cut off at me, and that they're going to last through the times and the change of seasons. There's a biological fulfillment, especially because human beings naturally have this desire for eternity, right? And it sort of feels like I'm lasting forever with my future generation. I understand that biological aspect of it, and I understand it exists, but is there any sort of spiritual fulfillment to this? I mean, it's still a lot of hard work.
Okay.
Right? Is God going to be like, I know it's hard work, I know you're going to enjoy it biologically, but here, I'm going to give you some spiritual bonus as well.
Very good point. Before I talk about the two bonuses that we have, I remember I was watching a movie about Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched it? That it's about Shakespeare family. It depicts the family of Shakespeare out in his 40s, in his late 40s, where he has two elder daughters, and one of them is married, one of them is still single, and one of his only son, Hamlet, he had passed away, he had actually drowned when he was 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the story, it says that no one from his family survived. So his line of lineage actually finished.
Okay.
Right.
So we don't have anyone now that is a descendant of Shakespeare.
According to that movie, no.
Okay.
So about your question, first of all, in the beautiful Quran, there is a verse that says, the warithin, the inheritors of earth, will be the righteous people.
Right.
Right? And we believe that there was a philosophy behind the creation of human beings.
Absolutely.
And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent 124,000 prophets and 12 imams to come as guides and leaders of mankind. And that there is a purpose behind, you know, our living. And this life would have been more prosperous with more peace if people were actually acting according to the instructions of God.
Obviously.
Which is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And that we believe that there will come a time of our last Imam, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, that he will come and he will fill the earth with justice, and there will be a lot of bounties and blessings, and the earth will open its beautiful bounties for all of us.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of rain, a lot of fertilization. You know, there will be blessings everywhere, and it will be so safe everywhere that a woman will be able to travel
on foot,
all alone, from one side of this earth to another side, feeling completely safe and secure. Isn't this beautiful?
It is.
So we are going to reach this phase. We will have to reach this phase. One of the reasons that we are giving birth to children and we are having children is that the foundation or the base of this mentality is in us, mm-hmm. that we are going to raise children for this time, that we are going to be, that we're going to provide, or we ourselves are going to be among the commanders of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we say, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, in that verse that we said, رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجَنَا وَذُرِّيَاتَنَا قُرَّةَ عَيُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا.
Lord, grant me among my spouse and children a source of joy and place me as a leader for the
uh-huh.
pious.
And not only, ordinary leaders of the pious.
Mm.
That is like the highest commander-in-chief,
mm.
right?
Mm.
I love this verse. It's so beautiful and so inspiring.
So are you saying that the fact that I know one of my descendants has the potential of achieving such a position,
yes.
is one of the bonuses?
Exactly. That
right.
I am going to play a role. I'm here. I've been created for a purpose. I'm leading an active life where I am influential. I leave a mark on the face of this earth. And when I go by, when I pass by, the result of me being in this world, me living in this world, will be apparent in my offspring. How this is exactly with the story of the noble prophet when we say, "Inna atayna kal kawthar," abundant blessing that after her, there's going to be Imam Ali alayhi salam, her husband, and then 11 imams are from among the descendants of Lady Fatima. Abundant blessings. So we pray that we too become the source of blessing for the inhabitants of the earth. If we have this kind of global aspect, if we keep this
worldview
view to life, so we're gonna have a mission in life. It's not like, okay, I wake up in the morning, I do this, I watch that movie, I go to work, I do this, okay, and then it's nighttime, I watch another movie, and then I eat this, I go to the, I go to a coffee shop, and then another day, and then you die. What are you going to attain? Bunch of books, couple of programs, and nothing. But you're going to, with children, of course, if you want to be raising one of the commanders, you have to be a commander yourself, right? So this is a vital life. Full of spirituality, full of energy, full of excitement, full of motivation, right?
Absolutely.
So,
and this actually has, this relies on the sort of worldview which pertains a whole lot of faith in humanity. Because we are, I deeply believe, living in an era where people have lost faith in themselves. You know, there's so much bloodshed and war and genocide and massacre and bombings and all of this that people were raped and murdered.
So much
and
hypocrisy, not even war. You work
lies and,
you see,
and betrayal and exactly. fake people and duplicity and betrayal and abortion and all of this has just made people really disgusted by their own species. But breathing that fresh air of faith into humanity and saying that, look, you are God's most noble creation, act like it, okay? And leaving behind a human being from whom the world will benefit is perhaps your greatest purpose on this earth. When we look at it that way, then yeah, maybe it doesn't suck that hard. Okay, that's all the time we have for today's episode, though. Inshallah ta'ala, please be with us in future episodes of Muslim Lady as we bring you more on the topic of pregnancy. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and may God accept your fast. Here is a saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to help us abstain from undesirable acts during blessed month of Ramadan that may nullify the fast. A fasting person is in a state of worship, even when asleep in bed, except when backbiting a fellow Muslim.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome back to The Light. People in Britain are marking the easing of lockdowns implemented to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Words like freedom, hope, family, reunion and relief have been projected on the walls of the UK's most iconic landmarks, as well as shops and department stores to show people's feelings. A British company commissioned a survey to find the words that best summed up people's feeling after months of lockdown began to be lifted on Monday. Those celebrating the event say reunion is the word that can best express their feelings.
The most powerful word in there for me is reunion. We've all been apart from each other, friends, loved ones, colleagues, who are also loved ones, I suppose, in some cases, and really looking forward to getting back to my friends and family that I haven't seen for a long time, and imagine a lot of the British public are too.
The event comes as the UK has been the worst hit nation with a pandemic across Europe. The country saw a staggering number of infections and deaths for months. This prompted authorities to impose restrictions in an effort to bring the pandemic under control. Japanese Olympics organizers have unveiled the game's iconic rings on top of Mount Takara, a popular tourist spot in the west of the Japanese capital, Tokyo. The unveiling of the rings comes as athletes around the world are ramping up training some 100 days ahead of the international event. The sad side of the story, however, is that the spectators are barred this time to accompany the organizers to mark and celebrate it. This is because uncertainty still exists over how and even whether or not the games will take place. A surge of the coronavirus infections, including in Japan, is playing havoc with preparations ahead of the Olympics. Many hope mass vaccinations would help hold the event. Suppose you have run out of milk and you're not in the mood to shop for shopping. This is for you. Robots are lending a hand with grocery shopping in Singapore. A technology company has deployed two robots to a neighborhood for a trial period. Both named Camilo, the machines deliver items from nearby supermarkets and online shops to around 700 households. Designers say people tend to use robots in the pandemic era.
especially during this pandemic period, everybody is looking at, you know, contactless, humanless, because in the robot itself, it has its own disinfection UVC light that we could do disinfection after every trip is being made by itself.
The robots are equipped with sensors and cameras, and they can carry up to 20 kilograms in their compartment. Users can track the robot on its way using a mobile application. The smart machines make 4 or 5 deliveries per day.
Section of highway winding through mountains and over the waters in central China provides people with picturesque views as it connects multiple tourist attractions in the region. Guzhuao Highway is located in Yichuan City in Hubei Province. The highway has a total length of more than 10 kilometers. Almost 4.5 kilometers of the highway stretches over valleys and streams. The highway also offers convenience for self-driving tourists. In order to avoid deforestation and protect the ecological environment, building bridges was adopted to replace the traditional approach of digging tunnels and constructing roads in mountains.
Now, a group of researchers have discovered a new mammal from the dinosaur era during their excavations in Chile. The creature, called the Oretherium xen, meaning beast of five teeth, inhabited southern Chile's Miocenes region during the Mesozoic era of the dinosaurs. This is a very important discovery as it fills a gap in information on the evolution of a mysterious group of mammals that became extinct and have no descendants today.
The interesting thing with this finding, and this is based on a fairly well-preserved portion of the jaw with five teeth, is that this animal probably was an omnivore. So it fed on plants, probably insects and other types of food, a varied diet. It coexisted in the same place with other forms of life, including mainly dinosaurs. On rocks with a data that indicates that it was between 72 million and 74 million years old. And this is located in the far south of Chile, in the Magallanes region, in the town of Valle del Rio de las Chinas.
The find may help scientists answer many questions they had for a long time about dinosaurs, mammals, and other groups. This discovery is more significant than other findings because a well-preserved jaw belonging to the dinosaur was found during the excavations.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
To Egypt, where archaeologists have discovered an ancient city dating back to more than 3,400 years ago. The city, which is the largest ever found in Egypt, dates back to the Golden Age of the Pharaohs. It's located in the city of Luxor, some 500 kilometers south of the capital, Cairo. The city had almost complete walls, as well as rooms filled with tools of daily life, along with rings, scarabs, colored pottery vessels, and mud bricks. Archaeologists say this is just the beginning of a discovery.
We believe that this golden lost city is the most important discovery after the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun. I call it golden because it was found in the golden age of Egypt, 1391 BC. I called it lost city because it was lost. No one really believed that the city could exist here. The dazzling Aton, three main districts, one area for storage. We found a big area for the storage of meat, making sandals, also sewing clothing, precious stones for making necklaces and bracelets, pottery. Tell us about the relation of Egypt with the New Kingdom. We think that this is the beginning of the discovery.
Abbas says only one portion of the city has been discovered. The team will excavate the area of the temples in September. One other amazing thing about the discovery is that archaeologists found a large fish covered in gold that may have been venerated by the people living in the city. Archaeologists claim this is the second most important discovery since the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun nearly a century ago. As a famous saying goes, everyone deserves a second chance. That's true about humans and animals. Mary is a baby alpaca from Germany. Her hind limbs were severely damaged in a traumatic birth, forcing vets to amputate one back leg. However, that was not the end of the way for this cute woolly mammal. A charitable farmer found Mary and adopted her. Now she has her own special wheeled harness that she works with. Mary's owner hopes to give her an artificial limb once she regains enough strength to carry weight on her remaining hind leg. That way, she can live as a regular happy alpaca. The more technology advances, the more robots are seen in more areas of daily life. Now, Chinese engineers have created robotic pets. A Chinese engineering workshop has made a robotic hound called Alpha Dog. It can navigate its way using sensors and artificial intelligence. Alpha Dog can also adapt to its environment using super fast 5G internet. The robotic dog is incredibly stable and has more balance than a real canine. The developers hope their invention can be used to help disabled people, especially the visually impaired.
We are exploring ways of helping the disabled, especially the visual disabled, to live a better life. When the robot dog has the function of vision, hearing and dialogue too, it can easily interact with disabled people and lead them to the supermarket or the bus.
The robotic pet costs $2,400. Despite the relatively high price tag, over 1,800 Alpha Dogs have been sold. The hound has found favor with a large group of fans, especially children and technology geeks. The developers hope to equip future models with the ability to bark so their product would look more lifelike.
Cheese goes well with food items indeed, especially on the breakfast table in almost every home. But have you ever tested halloumi? The rubbery cheese I'm talking about from Cyprus, which now gets EU protected status. Halloumi is a traditional homemade item in Cyprus, with historical accounts suggesting its production as early as the 16th century, believe it or not. Now, the salty cheese is the country's second most valuable export. In Turkish, it is known as helli. Europe has now decided to recognize halloumi, called white gold by dairy farmers, as a unique thing to be divided in the eastern Mediterranean island there. Locals usually enjoy it tossed in the frying pan or barbecued, eaten raw with melon in the summer, or cubed and thrown into the boiled with the soup.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So welcome and peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear brothers and sisters, This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're speaking about fasting and Allah's satisfaction.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Thursday, is the 2nd of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of the month of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter 2nd of the Holy Quran, verse 184. Please listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ayyaman ma'dudat. Faman kana minkum maridan aw ala safarin fa'iddatun min ayyamin ukhra. وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
Fasting for a limited number of days. So whoever among you is ill or on a journey during them, then an equal number of days are to be made up. And upon those who are able to fast, but with hardship, a ransom as substitute of feeding a poor person each day. And whoever volunteers excess, it is better for him. But to fast is best for you, if you only knew.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, the worship of fasting as other worships does not add anything to the glory and dignity of Allah, but all its merits are for the worshipper. Islamic traditions confirm the same meaning too. The Holy Prophet of Islam has said, "He who fasts during the fasting month for the sake of Allah, all his sins will be forgiven." Also in another tradition, it is narrated from the Holy Prophet who said, "There is an alm for everything, and the alms of bodies is fasting." This is today's special and the reward for fasting. What is it? It's Allah, the Almighty Himself. Amongst all the acts of worship and what it means to be obedient to Allah, fasting is the most acute in sharpening the soul's awareness of Allah. Meaningful and conscientious fasting is a stringent regulation of oneself in all of the components that satisfy the soul. the refraining from food and drink, fasting of the eyes, ears, hands, and feet, by abstaining from that which is essential to sustaining human life with the intention of obedience, has a divinely nurturing effect on the soul. The Messenger of Allah is highlighting that with intention and sincerity, any good action will carry weight in the hereafter. If that's not enough, Allah makes an exception for fasting in the month of Ramadan. As explained by scholarly commentators, the exception for fasting is a reward that is immeasurable, Allah Himself.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم يا كريم. Greetings dear brothers and sisters from around the world. Welcome and thank you guys for joining us on today's special. You guys heard اللهم قربني فيه إلى مرضاتك. Oh Allah, on this day take me near your pleasures. The satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the purpose of life, the reason we were brought into this world. By gaining the satisfaction and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, as promised by Him in various verses. And it's the purpose of life, like how I stated. And the more knowledge you gain, the more you understand it, the more you look at this material world, the more it will become clear that this fact is true, it's truly the purpose of our life, the satisfaction and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this holy month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors for all mankind. Not only believers, true, they have this specific and special, you know, attributes and characteristics in this opening of the door. Yet, this is for all mankind. This is a chance for all mankind to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach the pleasure and satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, we must grasp it with both of our hands. We must run towards it. We must run after it. We must not let laziness drag us back. We must not let worldly matters deny us the chance to reach the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month, the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easier to get. The satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy, but in this month, it's much easier. There are many doors, the nights of power, Layal al-Qadr, the days of fasting where you just breathe, you're just breathing and listening to my words, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heck, if you sleep, when you're sleeping, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
One important question: why is the reward so generous? Why is the reward so exceedingly generous? Fasting involves control of every single aspect of our conscious self that influences our way of thinking, decision making, and just being. All of our faculties and senses have to come under observance. This reward is not specific to the month of Ramadan. The weight of the act of worship of fasting is so profound that Allah Al-Kareem is the reward for all conscious fasting at any time of the year. The decree to which we relinquish ourselves in order to completely subjugate it to Allah is achieved through fasting, as we are reminded of how dependent we are on Allah. The stopping of provisions that are essential to life and realizing how much we truly need those things sees us turning to Allah in gratitude, ever more appreciative of our bounty. Hence, fasting teaches us to not overlook the generosity of Allah, for We do not want to be a people who appreciate things once they were removed. Rather, we should be able to appreciate everything beforehand. To seek Allah's reward. The month of Ramadan is very telling of our overall condition, and we tend to discuss within ourselves where we differentiate between what is Shaitan's influence and what's our own doing. Dangerously, we often use Shaitan as a scapegoat for our transgressions, but we cannot do that during the month of Ramadan, which is the beauty of this month. If we are honest and accepting of our estate, that should see us turning to Allah in forgiveness. The amazing thing that we find during Ramadan in most, if not all, Muslim communities is the collective energy towards worship, which gives us great hope in our fellow Muslims and in the mercy of Allah. This ummah is always on goodness, and our goodness is manifest despite the global voices that want us to question that. Our proof is the month of Ramadan, where this is a drive and awareness to worship Allah and to do good deeds to seek Allah's reward, which is not only beneficial to oneself, but to everyone else as well.
And there are many different doors that open in this month, especially feeding, breaking the fast of the believers, and sadaqah and charity, the reciting of the Holy Quran, the doors of knowledge are open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this beautiful saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He was asked, what is the most loved worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam answers, there is nothing more loved after knowing and knowledge than prayers. See, first of all, knowledge and knowing, then prayers. So knowledge and knowing is so important, it's so significant, that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states it as something that is, you know, something that should be accepted and clear to all Muslims and to all believers and to all followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And in this month, we have that in Layal al-Qadr, it is greatly embraced or greatly emphasized that believers put their time and put their days towards learning and gaining more knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us near Him, near His pleasures, and to help us drag ourselves to that satisfaction that is very fruitful for our afterlife. It is the purpose of our lives. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.